All right, let's see here. Friday, December 27th, Styx will be in Mount Pleasant, Michigan. On the 28th, Styx will be in New Buffalo, Michigan. February 8th, they'll be in Milwaukee. And then February 9th at the Genesee Theater in Waukegan. In studio with us, our old friend from Styx, James Young, J.Y. It's great to see you, man.
Jane,
J.Y.
I love it. You come home over the holidays. I feel like this is the time of year that we can catch you and bring you in studio. You got a few days off right around Christmas.
Yeah, we've actually had more days off. We decided to cut down the number of shows we did. I've been pretty much home since the 1st of November.
So basically, you've just been ignoring Pete's texts.
Here's the deal.
Okay.
No, Pete's
it's
been
okay.
Ignoring. He's forgotten about me, I'm afraid.
Please.
And you're prodding Jane. Finally let him to...
You and
we
Jane
all know Pete.
Were neighbors.
So I lived across the street from JY's mother.
Okay.
And father.
I was already out of the house and you know, touring the world when my parents moved a couple doors down from the Manzouras family.
Yeah. And my first memory of you, I mean, he is a rock star touring the world. I'm a kid, probably 10 or under, playing Ghost in the Graveyard outside, and JY would walk up the driveway to his mom and dad's house. Did you have cowboy boots?
Yeah, of course.
Cowboy boots.
I still have them on today.
Oh, yeah, wearing them right now.
A leather jacket.
He's wearing the leather jacket right now.
We would stop in our tracks, and you hear this story every time, JY. I'm sorry, I have to always tell it, but we'd stop and be like, there's our rock star! We would point. I don't know if you knew that the bunch of little kids outside were pointing at you screaming rock star, but we were.
What? My ears are that bad. I couldn't hear you then. Can't hear you now.
So we knew your family.
How old were you when you had that moment in Chicago where you knew that you hit it?
Oh, I mean, I felt from early on that I was going to make it.
But when you had that that moment.
Well,
because every time we have you on and the text message will start coming in, Styx played my prom.
Yeah.
I saw them at this small venue, but there is always a moment where it kind of hits you as a star.
Well, I think when Lady finally became a national hit in late 74, early 75, is when we sort of felt it. And Jerry Weintraub, who was kind of a quiet partner in Wooden Nickel Records at that point in time, was in town and had us up to his suite at the Ambassador East, whatever it's called now. And there's champagne for all of us. And Colonel Tom Parker's on one line, and Elvis is calling on the other line, and John Denver's on the third line.
What?
And so Jerry didn't spend much time with us because he was busy on the phone.
Right.
But nonetheless, we were invited up to His Majesty's Professor Weintraub suite.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought all those people were calling for you. I mean, why not?
Colonel Tom Parker and Elvis on the line. You're in the suite at the Ambassador East.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, those are great memories.
That's a showbiz moment.
Well, and the rest of us will never have the rock star showbiz. That will not ever happen to me or Pete.
Yes, it will, Jane. I promise you.
No. Nobody wants to hear me sing, I promise you that. So we like to live through you and hear those memories of somebody who's been in that position and had that moment of awe, like, wow, is this really happening?
I think that, okay, but there's another moment that I always like to talk about is we had had some success and Grand Illusion was out, and it was very much caught fire across the country. And in New York City, sort of the center of everything is 57th and 5th mm-hmm. Avenue. And I got out of a cab at 57th and 5th, and someone yelled out, Styx.
Oh, wow.
So, really?
Yeah.
God, that's huge.
So said, bring some more cigars.
Well, one of the things that we love about you, number one, you're a Chicago guy, very down to earth, but when you play in this city, you appreciate it so much, especially when you play Northerly Island and, you know, I mean, you walk out on stage and these are your people and the skyline's there. I mean, that's got to be a moment every single time you do that.
I truly, I was born at the right time in history, the right place in history. I mean, 2120 South Michigan, the Rolling Stones came there to record their second record.
Mm-hmm.
Willie Dixon, now it's Willie Dixon's Blues Heaven Foundation, which I'm a huge supporter of, and his surviving daughter, Jacqueline, is dear friends of mine, and we kind of brainstorm ideas to try and bring more attention to that part of Chicago history, which is, I mean, there's so many great parts of Chicago history.
Right.
That one, I don't want to be forgotten because the first album I ever bought was Bo Diddley's Gunslinger back in 1960. So rode my bike over to the Capitol Theater.
I love that.
I passed Father Flager. He wasn't there at St. Sabina's. He was coming later.
Would you rather be an engineer or a rock star?
Come on.
Well, no, but you have a degree in engineering.
I have a degree in mechanical and aerospace engineering from 35th and Michigan, 31st and Michigan, Illinois Institute of Technology, and they got a new guy that was hired to come in and run the whole show there, and he goes, get James Young on the sticks on the phone. He's the most famous person to ever come out of this place. So, but I never went out to talk to him. I was not a motivated student. I always wanted to do what I'm doing now, and my dad had saved for all his kids to attend college. He hadn't had the privilege. And my oldest sister got her degree from... She went to North Park College on the north side, but then got her master's from U of I and taught chemistry then at CVS, I think right after Dick Butkus left there. And my other sister didn't quite barb, who unfortunately became quadriplegic later on. She got through 1 year. I graduated, and then fourth brother Rick went to Northwestern, but he sort of lost his way and didn't quite graduate. And then
you were a smart family.
Brother Eric finally got his bachelor's degree in theater arts down at the U of I.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Can we talk about the most important thing? The Bears right now?
Bears.
You're a huge NFL fan, but you're an even bigger Bears fan.
Yeah, I mean, as I was telling someone... I was there when it was 6-0 when the Bears, February 6, 1986, faced off against the Giants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
William the Refrigerator Perry, weighing about 475 pounds, took little Joe, what was his last name, running back for the Giants. He was only about 170 pounds, and the Refrigerator slammed him to the ground, and that was AstroTurf. Boom! The little guy didn't get up for at least a couple of minutes. And the crowd cheered, of course.
Of course.
and I got a good chance to go, thanks to Brian Bashnagle, I got a chance to, who was not on the team that year, he was on injured reserve, but nonetheless, he worked for this attorney that was representing me in some retirement, planning issues and this and that and the other thing. So I got a chance to go hang out and meet Dan Hampton and a bunch of other guys that I was, very fond of.
Isn't that great?
And Jimbo Corbett, still a pretty good friend. Sean Gale's a very good friend, one of the dear friends of one of my best friends. So
I mean, those guys are royalty. We had Butthead on about a month ago, just talking about Cody Parkey.
Mm-hmm.
And people love Butthead. I mean, we had him on. We get all these text messages. We love Kevin Butler.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, these
and
guys.
We're talking about Dick Butkus, who's also highly revered.
Yes. Right, of course, number 51.
Uh-huh. But let's talk about yesterday. And that big win.
It, it was a bigger win a week before, I felt like we had a chance against the Rams because they're a warm weather team, and it was cold like it was back in February 6, 1986. And I said, those guys are already, they're already in the playoffs.
Yep.
They knew they were there, so I think they did not turn their volume all the way up to 10, and the Bears were ready to kill, and
yes.
that tackle-eligible touchdown was just...
I was
hooting and hollering like a...
I'm a season ticket holder. I'm a season ticket holder. My brothers went to the game. I was working that night at Fox, so I'm watching on set. I was so upset that I wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
But, a win's a win.
We got it.
Yeah. And L.A. lost last night on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
well, they're saving it for the playoffs now. I figured that out.
JY is here from Styx. We're going to take a break. You want some champagne? Oh, you have some.
Champagne and a rock star, Pete. This is pretty good.
Of course.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you thinking, I need that skinny little scarf around my neck. Would that work for me?
Of course it would.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I would normally want to say
Jane,
no.
Jane, help this poor man, would you?
I would want to say no to Pete, but I'm going to say yes.
I'm wearing a fleece and a Rolling Stones t-shirt.
Just replicate
underneath.
Exactly what JY is wearing.
James Young, JY from Styx in studio. It's 720 WGN. Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Styx is performing 3 or 4 shows in the area in the next 3 months. In studio with us is James Young, JY from Styx. I think about you
when I go to a show, because I saw Bob Seger the other night at the Allstate Arena, and his voice still sounds pretty good, even though he's had voice surgery and the bad back, and it was a great show. It was fun. But after night, I mean, when he does, you know, night moves, does it ever get old doing the same songs over and over? Or does you feed off the crowd?
When you know that that your music was the soundtrack to someone's glorious misspent youth, they live to come and hear that again. And I'm the same way. I see The Who. I saw them July 4th, 1967 at the Kinetic Playground.
That's so cool.
I love it.
I saw Hendrix play five times when he was alive.
Five times.
Wow. Yep.
Wow.
I mean, those are magic moments, and it's one thing to hear the music, but when it's right there in front of you, and you're surrounded by humanity that's all focused in one direction. I mean, one great story about Hendrix was there was a rock festival he played 3 weeks before Woodstock. This is 1969. I'm 19 years old out in L.A., and he's going to play twice. Friday night was with The Experience. Sunday was going to jam with Buddy Miles and Eric Burdon. So Friday night, security was bad. This was very poorly put together, but nobody cared at that point. But people were rushing the stage and really distracted Jimmy. And right before this thing I'm about to describe, the guy in front of me was, you know, it was pretty much three sheets. So the one goes, that's God up there, man. That's God up there. And within a couple of minutes, someone had climbed on the stage and distracted Hendrix, and he played. He was a half fret away from where, it was a fret away from where he was supposed to be. And the guy looks at me with his wide eyes and goes, God made a mistake, man. That was 1969, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow. I mean, think about that. Five times, Jimi Hendrix.
Yep.
It's amazing. So but one of the things I love, too, when you come home, this is your home. This is the hometown. And like Pete said earlier,
the great city of Chicago.
That's right. We get people that listen, and they're like, oh, they played my prom, or I knew them when they were younger, or 19, and this, and the other. We have a text here, someone in 1980, they were 15 years old, saw you play. I probably still have the ticket stub. Here is a question. From 708, I jam in a band in a garage on Peach Street in Park Forest, and everyone says that Styx started in that garage. Is that true, or is that false?
We did not start there. Dennis DeYoung lived in Park Forest for a while, and we did insulate and soundproof his garage. So if you live in that house that he lived in then, we were there. We didn't start there.
Okay.
But you were there.
We were there. Street?
You were there.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I mean, think about all the places that you've played, and people, it suddenly, if you played in a garage and there was five people watching you, now there was 5,000, because everyone said, hey, I think I was near that garage when Styx was playing.
Yeah.
And they weren't even in the neighborhood.
That poor garage today will have a lot of people out front.
Right.
So hopefully they have some Christmas lights up or something.
JY, I'm going to take a break, and we're going to talk for another half hour. We're going to keep you around. We're going to be on the stream. Is that okay?
Bears.
Bears.
Yeah,
talk
Bears.
I want to ask you, I also want to ask you about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when we go on the stream after 12 o'clock.
Oh, by all means.
At WGNradio.com. JY here from Styx. It's 720 WGN. WGNRadio.com in studio with us. I'm Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris. It's JY from Styx. Do you love hearing this song, or are you tired of it?
No, I mean, it's one of our most important songs. And
because everybody wants to hear this tune.
This was on our Grand Illusion album, which was our biggest seller. Six million copies back in 1977. 1 million of which were 8-track tape.
Wow.
What? You're kidding.
Whatever happened to those 8-track tapes?
Some people still have them.
But the problem is, Come Sail Away, I'm sure that it was between track 3 and 4 and the song would change. That was the problem with the 8-tracks.
That was the problem.
Because my sister had one in her Pinto. And I'm not kidding. Yes, my sister Di. What is it with Adam Sandler and the Styx tunes? He loves putting Styx songs in his movies.
Oh, I love that.
You know, I've only met the man once, but actually twice. He did finally, he and his wife came to a show back in 2008, but it took us that long to kind of meet up with him. Adam got the Guy's Choice Award when Spike TV first started. That was the first deal, was 2007, and Adam said he wanted us to come and play Renegade. So,
God, that's crazy.
So he's a huge fan.
Yeah. And really, just as relaxed and easy as can be to interact with him.
Well, he seems like a normal guy, and think about it, his movies cost, you know, $7 to $10 million, and they make 50.
He seems like an Uber fan. Like, he's a guy that's a fan of other things. You know what I mean? So he is a celebrity himself, he's a celebrity that's a fan of other famous people and bands and musicians and things like that.
And then Jimmy Fallon, picking up on Too Much Time on My Hands, Jimmy Fallon was 7 years old when that song was released. And yet, I believe it was Questlove, not that I want to talk about another broadcasting network's television show, but Questlove is a musicologist, and he and his dad, somebody saw something television special on him where he and his dad would sit around and listen to Styx music.
You're kidding.
What?
Quest, of course, the drummer in Fallon's band on The Tonight Show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you been on Fallon?
Never been on Fallon.
We need to make a play for that. Because how fun is Jimmy Fallon, and how fun would he be just fangirling over you guys?
Oh, yeah.
When he was seven.
Well, we made a move after he did two weeks in a row. He was using Too Much Time on My Hands back about 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah. We were playing it on the air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but I think, you know, the split in our group, I think Dennis's people were calling Fallon and our people were calling Fallon. And
right.
He probably said, I don't want to get in the middle of
this. I'm getting a headache. I'm so confused. What do I do now?
Can we talk Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Sure.
Are you upset that you haven't been nominated?
No.
Because I've been doing my part.
Jerry doesn't get upset, Pete.
No, but Styx should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
Janet Jackson in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? She made it this year. I don't get it.
Well, it's politics.
It is. It's all about politics and who you know. And I know Steve. Well, I thought I knew Steve Van Zandt. I have his email in every single year. This year, I wrote him a page email. And I said, listen, Styx and REO Speedwagon need to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And here's why. And I just listed it. These guys, hit after hit. They're a huge Midwest favorite. I know that the East Coast, I don't know how you feel about them, but this is our heart and soul of rock music here, and you both should be in. Both bands should be in.
Well, I mean, it took Chicago how long to get in?
Just forever.
2 or 3 years, and then that, in the same breath, Cheap Trick gets in.
Right.
But Cheap Trick was always darlings of the New York press.
Right.
And the New York press has very heavy influence on what goes in.
And Rick knows Steve Van Zandt, who's on the board of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Uh-huh. That I didn't know, but I just know that they've always been kind of the darlings, and those guys worked that angle, whereas our manager back in the day, Derek Sutton, he was very anti-press, didn't care. He said radio is what is important to this band.
Which is true.
And live concerts.
For sure, back in the day.
I mean, and I had a personal meeting with Jan Wenner about why we should be on the cover of Rolling Stone. I said, you're this was 1981, John McGann, who was a friendly radio programmer of ours in the Northeast, and myself and my Susie, we were sitting on the right there, Fifth Avenue in Central Park South, on Jan's fifth floor thing in this big building. And I said, well, you know, we've sold 3 million copies of our last four albums, Grand Illusion, Pieces of Eight, Cornerstone, Paradise Theater, and your circulation is 1 million. 3 million, 3 million, 3 million. It seems like it would make some sense
to put
you on the cover.
Yep. Yeah.
And he said, "We'll come back with the next project." And so came back with the next project, and it was Mr. Roboto and Kilroy, which is kind of peculiar for all of us. A hard turn on the wheel. Let's put it that way, from what we had done. And he looked it over and just said, "Well, who's the female heartthrob?" And I go, "Well, probably Tommy Shaw." And he goes, JY, I can't give you the cover. And I said, you guaranteed me the cover. And he goes, and this was a lesson learned for all of us, JY, there are no guarantees.
No, jeez.
Wow.
But that's show business.
It's show business. Everybody lies to everybody.
How do you survive it all these years? I mean, this has been a long time that you've been with this band and been on the spotlight and dealing with people like that with no guarantees.
Well, the reality is, why am I doing what I do? It's because
I
love performing on stage.
Right.
And if this small group of people over here don't see fit to acknowledge that because it's not their taste, God bless them.
Right.
And if this other small group of people over here doesn't see fit, God bless them. And I know enough people who have found their way into the fringes of the inner circle of all these things over our 40-plus years in the business that it's, you know, what you can't change, don't sit around and worry about it. Have a glass of champagne. Come on.
That's what I'm talking about. This whole thing reminds me, this Hall of Fame and this getting on the cover of magazine, reminds me of who wore it best in the People magazine. I don't know if you guys have seen it.
But yes,
they do
of
course. This person versus this person. And yeah. I look at it, and when I'm playing, I read a lot of those magazines. I look at it, and I think, well, she wore it best, but you said she wore it best because she's the darling. So it always comes down to a popularity contest or who's the darling.
That at
the
time, is.
No one wore it best. Everyone looks good in it, right. And it's all good.
They're in the business of selling magazines,
yes.
And they didn't think we were going to sell magazines for them. So, whatever.
Here's a question for you. If you get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, would you play with Dennis that night?
Sure.
At the ceremony?
Sure.
Would you ever go on tour with him ever again?
No.
That's it.
But you'd play that night?
Pardon?
You'd play that night.
Yeah, when you're inducted, you perform.
Right.
But you would play with Dennis.
Sure.
I want to be there. I want to be there.
People be there.
I wanted to go last year with Bon Jovi. I couldn't get tickets. Mm. You know. The three of us have something in common, and I'm sure we're mourning the death of The Loop. The radio station went away. Because Jane and I worked there.
Yeah.
I did two stints there. And your music was played on The Loop back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Greg Salk, and a host of others. Rock radio, I mean, radio is its own animal. And, you know, I mean, the Loop of Los Angeles, if you will, whatever, I can't remember what they were called at that point. The Sound, they got bought by a Christian broadcasting company.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
As did The Loop.
Went away. Yeah.
You know, but change is the only constant in show business.
Yeah.
Get used to it. Put on an extra pair of undies. I don't know what it takes to survive, but. I preach flexibility and adaptability.
I like that. Flexibility and adaptability. Write that down.
I told Jane before you came in, I want to be your friend. I know we're friends, but I think we're at the next level where we go out to dinner.
He wants to spend Christmas Eve with your family.
The three of us have done lunch. I think it's time for a dinner.
You were looking the other direction, JY, and Pete looks over at me and he goes, I love him so much. And there was almost a tear in his eye.
Because I met you years ago through the connection with The Loop, and then Jane, the three of us became pretty good friends.
Well, we love when you're in town, so you're always welcome to come on any of our shows, wherever we may be.
But you're just a down-to-earth guy, and I love talking music and sports. You're a guy's guy. You know, you're one of those guys.
I'm a guy's guy.
He's a Chicago
guy.
Yeah. Couple, two, three out there in the South Side.
And he lets me be bossy, and he lets me be his little sister neighbor.
Uh-huh.
It all works out.
Right.
Can we talk about London? You have a big show happening in the summer in London. Is that right?
For the first time in 7 years, we are crossing the Atlantic Ocean to play London and Norway and Sweden.
Do you get excited about that?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So how long? So London is June 4th, I think?
I'm not dead certain about precise. It's the early part of June.
And what are the Londoners? Are they just as crazy as the United Statesers?
You know, we've done well in Europe on occasion, but we've never made a profit going over there.
Oh.
Well, we want to bring our own equipment and we insist on having this and that and the other thing, so our show is going to be up to our standards. It's the gear that we're used to. And just to get it over there.
Yeah.
And we're not selling out stadiums. We're not the Foo Fighters or whoever is doing it these days. We're playing reasonably sized halls, and we go over there. This is more of a promotional thing to announce the world. We have a new album out last year, and we haven't performed it on that continent. And I don't know what I said. They call me. We need a quote from you, JY, on this whole thing. And I said, well, it's been 40 years since Styx first played in England, in Sheffield, in any place in England. It was Sheffield, England. And it turns out that Joe Elliott and the rest of the Def Leppard guys were in the audience to see us in our first show ever.
Really?
In England in 1978. Yeah. We didn't meet them until 2007.
Wow. That's funny.
Yeah, your quote right here. Joe Elliott from Def Leppard was in the audience the first time we played in 1978 in Sheffield, England. And now it's been 40 years since that performance. So now he'll have to come see us at the London Palladium.
Yep.
That's great. Quoted you in front of you.
Well,
something's
going to explode here.
And I don't mean to go back again, but Def Leppard got into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year. How is Styx not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? It infuriates me. I don't think they look at the Midwestern bands. As you said, Chicago.
This man needs some more alcohol.
Give me some more champagne.
There's some
it
champagne
just makes
here.
Me mad.
I know. And it makes, I think it I makes know. You and a lot of people mad. It makes me mad. It probably makes the band deep down inside.
No, I mean, I don't care. I mean, I have so many friends. The NFL has 28 teams, now 32 teams, right?
Yep, yep.
They induct 10 or 12 a year.
Yeah.
So how many great players are never going to get in there?
Right.
You're right.
You're going to get in, though. It's just right. a matter of time.
If we do, we do. If we don't, we don't.
Okay.
I mean, what's important to me is that we have more
upset
than he
is. That's a good attitude.
Millions of fans out there that come to see us perform, and I want to do this till the day I die, and I intend to be the oldest man on the planet when I do die.
Yes.
127 years old, there
wow.
he was.
You'll still sure come on the radio with us, right?
Yeah. I guess the champagne's going to help do that, isn't it? Yeah.
Keep going.
It is. Fountain of Youth.
JY from Styx is here. I went and saw a band called Greta Van Fleet last week at the Aragon Ballroom.
Okay.
What are your favorite up-and-coming bands? Because Greta Van Fleet sounds exactly like the old Led Zeppelin. That's their thing.
And it's two twins from Grand Rapids, Michigan, and they're just getting a ton of, like...
19 and 20-year-olds.
Yeah, like, yeah. Just they're in the spotlight. People are catching on because I think the younger kids are like, oh, this is new music, and the older folk are like, oh, it's like nostalgic music.
That's exactly... There was the younger kids, and then there was a 50-plus crowd
yeah.
at the show, at the Aragon.
I wish I could tell you that I'm up to date on what's going on currently and at the cutting edge of new music, but...
Do you listen to music? Like, when I get dressed on a Friday or Saturday night, you're in my rotation. I listen to Styx. What are you listening to?
I'm actually reading, not listening.
That's why he's so smart, Pete.
Shoot.
One thing we're going to take away from this interview is read more.
Right. Yes.
Boy, that always makes me feel bad.
How about before a show? You listening to music? Or are you just kind of relaxing before a show?
Before I go out, I listen to Deep Purple Burn with David Coverdale on lead vocal.
Really?
And John Lord still is playing keyboard. And if I can, I'll go back and listen to John Lord's Hammond B3 solo on Hush, which is my favorite organ solo of all time on record.
Wow.
That's so cool.
But just kind of really, that gets me in the mood to go out and do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever, this is like, of course you're going to say no, but I'm going to ask anyway. Bands that have very popular songs that have been around a long time, you go out and you play them night after night after night. Do you ever get tired of playing any of the songs? Do you ever roll your eyes back into your head, meanwhile smiling while playing? Like
not in this incarnation of the band.
No. Because it's fresh?
Well, it's more that I am not a soft ballad guy. Never okay. really have
you,
been.
You've said that to us before.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
And so, I mean, I didn't, you know, some of Dennis's songs, you know, had huge audiences and sold, you know, lots of singles and lots of albums along with them. But they just weren't my cup of tea. I mean, I'm a blues guy. I'm a Hendrix guy. I'm a Deep Purple guy. I'm an AC/DC guy. But we don't really do the soft ballads of Dennis DeYoung in our incarnation. Dennis is out there doing them on his own.
Right.
And, people want to hear them perform live. They can go see him. But I mean, every song we do, It's kind of every, because we lost our original drummer, John Panazzo, back in 96, mm-hmm. and his replacement, Todd Zuckerman, has been voted in some readers' polls of certain magazines as the best progressive rock drummer on the planet. And I'm standing next to that every night.
Right.
And I'm so fascinated with what he's going to do next, you know, that it's, and Lawrence Gowan is just a tremendous talent.
Yeah.
And we have, we used to battle all the time about who's going to be on the record and who's going to do this, who's going to do that. We were always battling until we got on stage, and then we were a unified front, but we don't have those battles anymore.
Right.
And I didn't like those battles.
No, of course not.
I do believe those battles contributed to the greatness of the art.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because
there's feeling and passion.
Tortured artists
yes.
and tortured groups of people create greatness, I believe.
Yeah.
And if you're, you know, if there's no pressure on you to do it, you don't always do it. And sometimes it's hard to come by. It has to come out of some emotional dislocation or whatever. So, but I love playing on stage with Styx. And I said, I'll be 123.
Cheers. We've got champagne and rock set.
Yes,
in the room.
Cheers to that. Do you see the Rolling Stones when they go back on that stadium tour? Do you try to catch them one more time?
I saw them at the United Center a little while ago.
Yep.
I first saw them just for one or two songs. We had played a frat party in 1969 in Champaign. This was in the band before Styx with my brother and Mr. Gallagher and Mr. Cennino, Mr. Provenzano. And and Mr. Mundo. Anyway, we got a chance to. We were done early. We said, "Well, the Stones are still playing," and so some people walked out. We walked in, and I got to hear "Gimme Shelter" and "Jumpin' Jack Flash," the Rolling Stones back in '69 play
You're
live.
Kidding. "Gimme Shelter" in 1969.
The stories are endless.
Maybe they hadn't recorded it yet. That's my favorite Stone song is "Gimme Shelter."
I love that song.
I happened to Mary Clayton on that vocal. I happened to meet her, and that was an amazing woman.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, do you go see him when they come back around?
I won't go see him. I'm not going to go see him outdoors.
You've seen enough.
Well, I saw him live. I saw him live just recently at the when they were in the United Center, maybe 3 or 4 years ago when Taylor Swift was on stage that night with him.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that.
Yeah. Yep.
I really want to bring this up, Pete. You do the Final Word on Fox.
Yes.
The sports.
Yep.
After the sports
with Lou Kanellis.
I think JY would be a great guest because you love your football. Would you go on? Would you
Bears.
Do? Would you do TV?
Would you ever come in on a Sunday night at 10?
No,
I'm tired.
No.
Look at that. I don't even want to go in. Yeah,
I'll have a remote studio built in my house, and you can cut to me.
I don't know if they'll go for that.
He'll be drinking champagne.
Maybe.
Okay.
So you're downtown. Do you go Christmas shopping now before you head home? What are you doing? Got to run over to Macy's on State Street.
No, I'm not going to shop down here. I've got to get out. I got to get out before the traffic starts building.
Yeah, 3 o'clock.
Again.
You're going to get that 3 o'clock rush.
Well, yeah. I love that you told us the route. It's so Chicago. You told us off the air the route that you came here, and you're mentioning streets and the 100 block or whatever. You know, we're at the 4300 block of Ogden. What did you say when you came in?
There was a backup there, so
right.
We went this direction.
Yes.
4400 west on Ogden.
Yes.
Well, I was a part-time Chicago cab driver to make ends meet from 72 to 76.
You're kidding.
Yeah, you're so tall. How do you even fit in the cab?
Wait a second.
The cabs were much bigger back then.
We've known you forever.
Cabs.
You drove a cab? You've never told us this story.
Well, it was part-time for 4 months.
Yeah.
So you had to learn the streets.
I knew the streets already.
Okay. You're Chicago, and you know the 100 blocks of
streets. My dad drove us all across the country. He drove us to Los Angeles, the whole family in the 50s,
kids?
New Buick. Five kids hanging the diapers out the window. My brother Eric was like 3 years old. And he was going, no seatbelts, and he's doing 110 miles an hour through the desert.
You kids in the back seat, I'm going to get you.
You change the diaper
survived.
And you just throw it out the window. I miss those days. I love it. JY, it's so great to see you.
You guys, thanks for having me.
Thanks, JY.
Well,
Merry Christmas.
See you in a year. We'll talk to you on the phone. But
Busy year coming up, though. Lots of shows on tour.
Can we do dinner one time?
Just say no, JY. You can
just think about it.
We can do lunch.
I knew you were a lunch guy. All right, I'll do
Pete
lunch.
Pete loves lunch.
I love it.
Or we can do breakfast.
He loves breakfast.
Really?
Yeah.
JY loves breakfast. Pete loves lunch.
I'll do a breakfast or lunch, but I don't do dinner.
I hate doing breakfast and lunch, but I love doing dinner. But I'll do breakfast or lunch with you.
No, you love to do lunch. Who are you kidding?
I hate lunch.
He's trying to be a big guy here.
No,
I
hate lunch. I like drinking starting at 3 o'clock.
Well, we'll do a late lunch.
Okay.
Well,
and then I can continue.
No, before traffic. We got to go 2 o'clock.
Again, Styx in Mount Pleasant, Michigan on the 27th to 28th. Styx in New Buffalo, Michigan, February 8th. In Milwaukee and Waukegan at the Genesee Theater on February 9th. The Genesee is just beautiful, isn't it?
In Waukegan. Did you say Milwaukee?
Well, I said Milwaukee on the 8th and Waukegan on the 9th.
Yeah, Genesee's beautiful. They've spent
a lot of money.
$25 million.
Yeah.
Wow.
A lot of money. JY, thanks for coming in. Merry Christmas.
Hey, you guys. Sunny day.
Get out there and enjoy.
Here in a great city of Chicago.
Yes.
Have some more champagne.
WGNRadio.com.